Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Philippians chapter 2. I'm going to preach a message that I think I can even understand. You know, the church has gone so many directions that the church don't even know where it is right now. We get arguments about end times. Just believe what the Bible says and forget everything else. We get arguments about eternal security. I'm eternal secure as long as I'm walking with Jesus. You know, anything else, you're at risk. You know, we get arguments over what translation to use. I met with a family in Clark, and I kid you not, when they asked me what translation I used, and I told them the New King James, they said, that's not the Bible. If it's not King James, it's nothing. And so, to say the least, I don't have any more contact. Because I don't believe that the King James is the only Bible. The King James is a translation like every other one. The thing I like about the New King James and the King James, it doesn't take out half of Mark 16, and it tells you the truth about Romans 8:1. If you look at a lot of your Bibles, part of that is missing. But in Philippians chapter 2, and the reason the church is messed up is simply the fact that we talk about Jesus, but we're immune from what he wants to do in our lives. We talk about everything. We preach all kinds. I mean, turn on the television and hear what's being preached. It's time that we come back to the basic of Jesus Christ. And if we're not going to do that, we might as well close the doors. Because without Christ, there's nothing to preach except wishful thinking. And if you're there, we'll give an altar call in a little while. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, and verse number 8, I hope you understand that the Bible says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. But verse number 8, and being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and of those on earth and those under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. When we come to a place that the name of Jesus is just another word in our vocabulary, without the meaning that the Father has given to it, we have a religion and not a relationship. And then we don't fulfill the biblical term of religion. The biblical term of religion is visiting the orphans and the widows. How many of you are doing that? Not putting guilt on you, I'm just asking. If we're not even fulfilling the religious aspect of what God calls religion, and we're not believing in Jesus Christ, and we're not believing in his name, what do we have left? We have a bunch of fairy tales. The Word of God is alive because the Holy Spirit anointed it to tell us about Jesus. And I believe in charismatic churches, we've come to a place where we don't honor and respect Jesus the way that the Father told us to do it. Love the way you're shouting, but it don't matter. The biblical prophecy of Isaiah 53 that he was wounded for our transgressions and that he was bruised for our iniquities and the punishment of our peace was upon him and by his stripes we are healed was fulfilled in Matthew 27, Luke 23, 22, Mark 14 and 15, and John 19 and 20. Fulfilled. Every time that we celebrate Good Friday, that passage of Scripture should be in our remembrance that was prophesied hundreds and maybe thousands of years before Jesus came that this would happen. In Isaiah chapter 61, how God anointed Jesus. And he went about setting the captives free, opening the prison doors. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me. Go to Luke chapter 4 and you're going to read that Jesus read from that passage of Scripture. And when he was done reading with that passage of Scripture, he looked at the followers and said, "Today, this has been fulfilled in your hearing." Thousands of years before he came, and Jesus comes and said, "Today, this has been fulfilled in your hearing." And so there's something about the name of Jesus that we need to look at, and we need to make a decision that that name is not just to say. It has purpose, it has meaning, it has reality, it has salvation, it has healing, and it has deliverance all built up in it. And without that name, I'm going to show you in just a few moments, there's none of you going to heaven. None of us. Are you happy? Let's look at some other verses. Let's look at Ephesians 5:18. How many of you got up this morning and just were dancing and shouting and thanking God that you're up? Or how many checked the obituary column? 5:18 says, "And do not be drunk with wine within dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." How many did that this morning? How many did it during worship? How many took time out? Submitting to singing, giving thanks in verse 20. "Always for all things to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus." Giving thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. Let's go back to 16. "Let the word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do," say do.
Do.
"Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through you." Look at me. What is sin? And what don't we do? We don't do anything that we can't give thanks to God for in the name of the Lord Jesus. Simple. If you can't thank God you're doing it, don't do it. I don't mean just because you're grouchy and you don't want to cook tonight. Hello. Whatever it says, whatever you do, give thanks to God in the name of the Lord Jesus. John 16. John 16, verse 22. Therefore, you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one can take away. And in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Now, let me clarify something. You're in a panic. Train's going to hit you. You're going to hit another car, and you yell, "Dear Jesus, help me." That's okay. But the Bible teaches us when we pray, we come to the Father in the name of Jesus. Jesus taught us. I'm not saying don't pray to Jesus. Please, don't misunderstand me. I'm just saying as we grow and as we mature, we just kind of pick up what we're taught. The Father is glorified through the name of Jesus. He loves to hear the name of His Son. That okay? Yeah. How many of you like to hear the names of your sons? How many wouldn't raise your hand for anything today? Hey, you keep out of it. We like to hear. The Father loves to hear us talking about Jesus. And we talk about a lot of other stuff. But the only reason we are where we are today is because of Jesus Christ. You can look at that and you can say, well, you know, well, I do know. The only way that we are Christians is because of what Jesus did. There is no church that can get you to heaven. I don't care what they're telling you. I don't care what they're preaching. I cannot get you to heaven, and you're thankful for that. I want to look at three things. So if you can count to three, you'll know when I'm almost done. Because you may hear as I continue to close. Okay? Salvation. The only. Say only with me.
Only.
Please don't get confused in this. The only way you can get to heaven is through Jesus Christ. Now look at me, and I'm going to be as dogmatic as I can possibly be. Nobody since the cross and the resurrection is getting to heaven without knowing Jesus Christ. Right. Nobody. Right. You know what I mean? That's very possible that some of my relatives are in hell. You can make the choice about yours. It's very possible you think that God may have had a special plan for this one and everything changed and he took them to heaven. If he did that, he's lying to us. And God's not a man that he should lie. I'm not trying to dig up a bunch of stuff. I'm trying to make us see for our families and our children and relatives and friends that everyone who doesn't know Jesus is going to hell. Can I make it any plainer? Now, whether you believe that or not is not my problem. If you want to argue that, don't argue with me, argue with him. Because without Jesus, There's no life. There's no fellowship with the Father. There's no forgiveness of sins. I've never met anyone that can forgive my sins besides Jesus and the Father. You say, why are you saying this? Because I want to get back on the Jesus train. I want to get back where Jesus is the center of this church and the center of my life. And if he's not the center of my life, then how in the world and why in the world are you listening to me? And so if you're trying to think, well, look at me. I'm not the one that judges my life. You're not the one that determines if you're going to heaven or not. God is. He's laid the plan very straight. There's no exceptions. People are trying to con you. People are trying to say, well, surely God won't send anybody to hell. He doesn't. People choose.
That's right.
You determine where you're going. I got on the phone the other day and made reservations in Rapid City. I made reservations in Estes Park. I made reservations in Laramie, Wyoming, and many other places because my wife said we're going. And you know, when Judy talks, Pastor listens. Quit it. But to pull into some of these places after leaving Sisseton, like getting to Hill City and Rafter Bar J Ranch, I got to make a reservation. Heaven is no different. Your reservation to be with God the Father is Jesus Christ. Without him, we're not going there. That's why parents is so important that you are a parent and not just a friend.
That's right.
It's so important that you tell your children the right way, as we talked last week. It's so important that we not only tell them the right way, we demonstrate the right way, because the gospel is not meant to be defined, it's meant to be demonstrated. And we can define what we believe, but do we believe it enough to demonstrate it and live it? Okay, where was I? Acts chapter 4. Now, I'm tired, so don't boo me when I do my little rant, okay? Pastor may rant today. Curtis, you might want to sit up here and just tell me to calm down. I want to tell you something. The gospel is not defined by any politician. Because someone says we're not a Christian nation, in their opinion, doesn't matter. Because one individual Christian committed to Christ has more power than the man sitting in the White House.
Amen.
Hello? And we need to understand that. It's not a change in the White House that's the most important. It's a change in the hearts of the believers toward our God.
Amen.
And without that change, it doesn't matter who's in the White House. They're not going to be successful. Until the body of Jesus Christ start realizing it's Jesus Christ and him alone that's going to change this nation through the Holy Spirit. I love West Virginia, packing football stadiums with young people and adults who are getting saved. I love it. Man, let's see it. We got a brand new stadium here. Let's fill it with people getting saved. Okay. I'm going to rant every once in a while. You just have to put up with it. Okay. Chapter 4, verse 6. My rant is messing me up. Well, let's go back to verse 5. It came to pass on the next day that the rulers, elders, and scribes, as well as Annas the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the family of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them, Peter and John, in their midst, they asked, "By what power, what name, have you done this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if this day we are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he had been made well, let it be known to you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by the builders, which has become chief cornerstone." Now, how about this? How many believe the Bible? How many believe it's a good roadmap? Okay. "This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which had become the chief cornerstone, nor is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." No other name. You know what their response was to this? Much like our U.S. government. "We do not want you preaching or teaching in this name." People are afraid of the name of Jesus because there's power in the name of Jesus to change people's lives. And there's power in the name of Jesus this morning to wake us up, get us to a realization that I don't just accept Christ and I forget about everything else about God. I'm working a plan from God that God is telling us in your life of ministry. Jesus looked at his disciples and says, "My Father works always and I work too." Then why should we be able to sit in our lazy boy? You're not saved by doing something. You're saved by receiving something. Someone. But how many understand right now that there's no other way of salvation? None. Are you ready to buy into that? Those of you who have come out of traditional religion. And I told the people I told them yesterday as I was preaching very, very calmly, Jesus' blood is the only blood that matters. It's the only blood that matters. Number two, there's deliverance in the name of Jesus. Mark 16:70 says, "You will cast out devils." Can I tell you something? You can't counsel a demon. And the demon don't care what you know, he's only concerned about who you know. And so we come to a place where we walk into the presence of the devil in the name of Jesus, and Jesus always wins. Acts chapter 16. You'll notice Paul didn't even pray the demon would come out. Verse number 16. "Now it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. The girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, 'These men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation.'" People say, "Well, what's wrong with that?" It was the right word, but the wrong spirit. That's why we have discerning of spirits. She had the right word. But if Paul would have let her continue, that was condoning the fortune-telling and everything else they were doing by a foreign spirit. And people would have thought that that's the way to go. So she said the right word. Paul was there to tell the people how to get saved. But it wasn't with some demonic spirit that he was going to minister that. How many are confused? You okay? Okay. And this she did for many days. I don't know why it happened for many days. Happened for too long. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out that very hour. I command you in the name of Jesus to come out. Don't try that if you're not living for Jesus. But if you're living for Jesus, you have the power and authority and the word of Jesus Christ and the name of Jesus Christ to cast out devils. He said that in Mark 16. Paul did it here. Jesus did it to the maniac of Gadara. Have you ever stopped, and I've said this before, but have you ever stopped and wondered why the maniac of Gadara didn't run from Jesus instead of running to him if these demons were all that powerful? The man made a choice to come to Jesus, not the demons. I was talking to someone yesterday and we got on this subject and it's just as if we would understand that a lot of mental illness is demonic. If we'd understand a lot of the mental problems we go through is an oppression of the devil as believers. And he wants to keep your thoughts on something else. And it is torment. But the Bible says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. There's healing for the oppression that Satan wants to put on your life. Just don't bow to it. Just don't come to a place I accept it. Just don't come to a place, well, my family had it, so I have to have it too. Demons are not inherited. And their oppression needs to be broken. So how many understand right now that there's deliverance in the name of Jesus? Okay. Thirdly, how many have I done so far?
Two.
Somebody said three. You can go now. There's healing. There's healing. Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. I'm going to make a confession. I've been doing a lot of talking with God about not seeing the healing I've been expecting. I believed in healing. I've been healed. I believe God still heals. I just need to get in a conversation with Him. Well, I'll tell you when I have the conversation. But I want you to understand one thing. No matter if you get your prayer answered the way you want or not, you need to trust Him.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen.
We've seen some magnificent healings in this body. How many know that God has healed you? How many know God has healed you of cancer? Barb? Others? Uncle Bud? Ray's been healed? Fern? I mean, it's just amazing. But I want more. I want more. And so I just been focusing on Jesus. That's why I'm preaching what I'm preaching today. You're going to hear a lot more about the name of Jesus. He's the one. Now, Peter and John went together to the temple in verse 1 at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. Whatever you don't see, don't let that determine what you're going to believe. Whatever you don't see, because we don't need to lose hope and faith over something that doesn't happen. We need to be focused. I'm taking what Jesus said, and I believe, and I'll pray, and I'll witness, and everything that God has called us to do, we'll do because the Bible says so. With your sickness or with what you're going through, never give up. Or like the medical profession will tell you, "I'm not accepting it." God has a little more knowledge than medical professionals and doctors. I believe in them. Luke was a doctor. I'm not putting doctors down. I'm not telling you, don't go to a doctor. Don't ever say pastor said that. Doctors have worked through God to save people's lives. How many understood what I said? Say this with me. Pastor loves doctors, but Jesus more. It's true. It is. It's true. And so Peter went and took the man by the hand and raised him up. You know my mind works? I tell you, my mind is goofy at times, but I often wonder what would happen if he would have collapsed. What happened? The guy went, "Pew! I told you, get up!" Peter's faith was so strong. That it didn't matter what the man did, he knew that his God was going to... Peter's preaching in Acts 16, 17, 18, somewhere in there. There's a man named Aeneas there. Aeneas is crippled. This time he just calls out and says, "Aeneas, stand up and walk." He goes from there to a lady's name Dorcas or Tabitha. She's dead. He tells her to get up. She did. I want you to understand that there is power in the name of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. Take a look at your hands. I haven't had you do that for a while. Both of them. The Bible says you'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. How many of you are believers? These signs shall follow them that believe. You'll cast out demons. The last one is you'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Raise your hands like this. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that anointing will flow through these hands. I pray in the name of Jesus that the power of the Holy Spirit will minister, touch through these hands. That these hands are full of the love and compassion of Christ. When we lay them on people, they'll sense the presence of God. I pray, Lord, that these hands will not be afraid of any disease or any demon. But in the name of Jesus, they'll go on and do what Jesus called us to do. And Father, I give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't try to leave yet. That was just a beginning prayer. I forgot what point I was on. I'm going to go back to one and start over. It was really nice before those guys from Bemidji came.